to write the subject on the board this morning. Written on the board, firmly planted in the Lord. I'd like to just first say that song that we just sang touched my heart. When you think about when we offer up prayers to God from our hearts, in faith, believing that He is there, He cares, He's interested, that He indeed is listening. The words of that song, all of heaven stands at attention when we pray. And I just am thankful today that we serve a personal God that loves us, cares about you this morning. I know we have needs in life. Life brings difficulty and unexpected mountains that we never anticipated having to go through. And sometimes we wonder how we are going to get through. But I want to let you know today that Jesus Christ loves us, cares about us. He has a vested interest in us being able to cross the finish line of this life successfully. And He wants to be able to say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So be encouraged today in the Lord. We serve a loving, caring Father who wants to hold our hand regardless of what we face. And I'm thankful for that today. Have you ever encountered somebody that seemed to be newer in the Lord than what you are from time standpoint, maybe at Monarch? Somebody that hasn't been saved before, maybe get saved, and seems like they catch fire and almost seem like just pass you up spiritually. Feel like that maybe they just have an earnestness that you feel like you don't have. And seems like they're new in the Lord, and yet the fire that they have is bigger and brighter and hotter than what yours is, and you've been endeavoring to live for the Lord for a long time. Seems like maybe their priorities seem to come into place better than what you've been able to do, and you end up feeling almost spiritually inadequate. Well, now what I'm doing is I'm describing the way that I remember feeling at times at Monarch as a young person. I remember feeling that. But then the next year comes around, and you say, "Well, where's so-and-so? I remember them last year. They were so on fire. Where are they?" Well, they're not around anymore. They got discouraged, and they've kind of gone off on their own way, and they're not living for the Lord anymore. I've seen that happen time and time again, and it's sad. People that get a hold of something, but then they fall by the wayside because they don't have any depth. They didn't perhaps nurture and dig deep. You know, there's a parable that the Lord gave in the Scripture that brings that out. Fail to become firmly planted in the Lord. Well, we've spent a number of weeks, actually months, here in this congregation, and we've talked about the importance of being planted by the rivers of life and the rivers of water, and being as the wise man that came to where the word of the Lord is here in church, the word of the Lord in Scripture, putting yourselves in a place to be counseled by those that have gone before us, and hear that word and then do it. We've talked about that. We've talked about the fig tree that was leafed out, and yet when the Lord got to the fig tree, it held the promise of fruit, but then there wasn't any fruit in it. We've spent time, a fair amount of time over the last number of months, talking about the difference between religion and Christianity. And just to reiterate again, there's a big difference between religion and Christianity. There's some very religious people that carry with them some very big holes on the Christian side of their life. Christianity is being Christ-like. It's following Christ. Religion can be like the Pharisees, where you have a lot of works, where you do a lot of things. Maybe you don't even know why you're doing them, except that your life is filled with religious acts and ceremonies and rites that don't have really a whole lot of depth. The Lord wants us to be Christians. He doesn't want us just to be religious. We have spent a lot of time talking about several, maybe four Sundays, speaking about the New Covenant and the Old Covenant dispensations. We talked about the land that the Lord would have us to possess. And there's a common thread in a lot of these different but related topics, and that is the importance of us being firmly planted. Firmly planted in the Lord. Not firmly planted in ourselves. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Oftentimes we, along in the enemy, works through us. We can be the greatest hindrance in our own lives in following the Lord like He would have us to follow Him. I don't want to be firmly planted in myself. We live in a world that promotes self. We live in a time that promotes going out and going after those things that are just important to you in the flesh. What makes you happy? What tastes good? What smells good? What sounds good? What looks good to your eyes? That's appealing. And we're inundated by it all around us. But for us to find peace, for us to find joy, for us to find soul security, for us to be able to get in touch with Jesus Christ, the Lord is calling us to be firmly planted in Him. Even not being firmly planted in our own zeal. Did you know that we can get carried away in our own zeal for the Lord? We can have zeal without knowledge. We can get carried away with our own thoughts and our own ideas and put the name of the Lord on it and feel good about it and charge forward and later find that God is not with us. I don't want to find myself in that place. I want to find myself firmly planted in Jesus Christ. And so this morning I'm inspired to bring what is likely the first of two or three messages on being firmly planted in the Lord. And a desire and interest in your prayers with these messages, I feel strongly about this inspiration that the Lord has given me. I believe that it's not milk. I believe that it is meat for us to consider and to give our hearts and our minds to, and we're going to need the Word of the Lord and His Spirit to help reveal to our understanding what He would have us to get a hold of. And I want to be a messenger of the Lord. I want to be hid behind the cross. I don't want to say anything that is not of the Lord or of the Word of God. but I want to be a vessel that He can use for His purpose. So I desire your prayers always as the word of the Lord is delivered. I'd like to turn to the book of Ezra this morning. We probably won't get real far today, but I'd like to get started. The third chapter of Ezra is where I'd like to turn to. And I'd like to start by providing a little bit of background. Goes a little bit with some of the Sunday school lessons we've been studying. We read in the Old Testament where the Lord allowed the Babylonians to come and take away the Israelites captive because of their idolatry and their rebellion. You read in the Old Testament where the Israelites allowed themselves to be drawn into a state of idolatry, a place where they began to worship other gods, false gods. They began to worship things that were made with their own hands. Has that ever seemed odd to you? That we would worship things that we created with our own hands? I'm not interested in worshiping something that I make with my own hands. I need something that is larger and bigger than myself. I need to be able to get a hold of the Creator, the one that created me. That's who I want to worship. I'm not going to make progress in life spiritually by creating something that I then pay great allegiance to when it wasn't something that God ordained. But it was something that's temporal, that's going to pass away, that's not of God, but that is of myself. And the Israelites, because they had a desire, as we all inherently have in our hearts, is to reach out to a God, to reach out to something that is bigger than we are. But I don't want to create it myself. But the Israelites got pulled into that. And they began to worship things that they created with their own hands, or that others created, that others began to worship. And so then they fell into that same ungodly place where they took to themselves gods that somebody else created, and they began to worship those gods. And they were not of the one true God. And they also rebelled. They had the word of the Lord. They were blessed with having the law. They were blessed with having people that had gone before them that communicated the law to them. But they rebelled against it. They turned away from it. They had it. It was before them. It could have been followed for their good. But they made a decision to turn away from it and go a different direction. And because of their idolatry and because of their rebellion, the Lord allowed the Babylonians to come and take them away captive. And in the process, the Babylonians destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. Destroyed it. The victory of the Babylonians was prophesied. It was foretold that this was going to take place. And the prophecy of how long the Israelites were going to be held captive in Babylon was also prophesied. 70 years. It was prophesied in Jeremiah. It was prophesied in Isaiah. And in fact, we read this morning in some other places in the Old Testament where it was prophesied that the Babylonians were going to come and do this to them. We read in the first chapter of Ezra where the Spirit of the Lord stirred Cyrus, the king of Persia, at the appointed time. 70 years now had passed. And the Lord God came down and He stirred the heart of not a godly king, not a king that had been serving God, but that had control of those that were held captive. If this wasn't God, it's hard for me to know what else it came from. At the appointed time, the king of Persia was stirred in his heart to build a temple to the Most High God, the Lord God of the heavens. And that temple be built in no other place but Jerusalem. Isn't that something? That's God at work. You can read that. And so, the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, those that had been stirred in their hearts, rose up and were allowed to travel back to Jerusalem to begin to rebuild the temple of the Lord. And I'd like to pause here for a moment and take note that not all who could have gone to help rebuild the temple went. The Israelites had been in Babylon, now held captive for 70 years. And there were those that had become comfortable in the heathen land. Babylon was a very progressive place. There were conveniences that they had become accustomed to in this heathen land and had began to acclimate themselves to this land. And there were those that appeared to not want to go and leave the life that they had now assumed and set that aside to then go and face the hardship of rebuilding the temple of God and go to Jerusalem that had been laid waste and where there were enemies waiting for them. And so there were those that stayed behind and did not let the will of God, did not allow the will of God to take place in their lives, where then they filled the individual place that God had for them to fill in His kingdom. There are a lot of parallels in that story with where we live our lives today. We live in a heathen land. We live in a time where there are great influences that cause us and draw us and pull us in to become accustomed to ways of thinking, to ways of life, to the point that it's very difficult for us to let go of those things and go face whatever it is we have to face to build the temple of God, to be the temple of God. We're the temple of God. God intends for me and for you to be the temple of God. And yet, when His will is made known to us on how to build His temple in our lives, if we are not very careful, we live in a time with so many attractions, so many things that draw and pull us, that if we're not careful, we too will hold back and not rise up and allow the Spirit of God to stir our hearts to the place that we are willing to go and fill the place that God is calling us to fill at His appointed time. May God help us with that. I'd like to pick up now with that background in the first verse of the third chapter. And it said, "And when the seventh month was come and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and his brother and the priests, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and his brother, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. They were afraid of the people of those countries. There was fear. They understood that they were there. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They continually regarded the Lord morning and evening while all of this was going on. They kept also the Feast of the Tabernacles as it is written. Not as they made up, but as it was written in the law of Moses, a man of God. And offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the custom as the duty of every day required. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all of the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated. Not of anybody else, but of the Lord that were consecrated. And of every one, let's not pass this one by, and of everyone that willingly offered a free will offering unto the Lord. And it was a free will offering that was set up by the Lord. It wasn't an offering that was outside of what God asked His people to offer. It wasn't that the people said, well, the Lord set up these offerings for us to offer. We think there should be another one. We'll set it up too. No, the Lord set up also, was part of, from the beginning, a free will offering where the people were invited to come and give an offering in that manner. And so that is what these people did. They did everything according to the law of Moses, the man of God. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. So this was in the very beginning. Folks, this was a committed, earnest people that were willing to leave the fine things. Yes, they had been held in captivity, but they also had become accustomed to some of the fine things of Babylon. But these people were willing to rise up and leave the security of where they were, and they were committed, and they were earnest, and they went to do the will of the Lord in the face of an enemy that was set out to keep them from fulfilling the will of God, which was their purpose. And they worked, and they labored, and they sacrificed to accomplish the will of God. And I want to say to us this morning that God is looking for a people today in this life that is no less committed, that is no less consecrated, to be willing to go and fulfill the will of God in this time period, regardless of what we face, regardless of what it means. He wants us to be devoted, committed, earnest, not to follow my way, but to follow His way, that we become firmly planted as vessels in His vineyard to accomplish the work of the Lord. We find in this second verse that there were three things that were inferred. And that was that the people knew the law. The only way for them to do what they did was for them to have become acquainted with the law, know what the law says, so that they could then know how to give sacrifices in the right way. Not the wrong way, but to give sacrifices according to the will of the Lord. They had to be acquainted with the law to know
what the design of the temple was supposed to be.
These people knew the law. And not only did they know the law, but they followed the law regardless of the consequence. And it involved sacrifice, something that they were more than willing and committed to do, was sacrifice. I'm not just talking about the sacrifices and the offerings that they offered up to the Lord as burnt offerings, but they were willing to sacrifice their lives. They were willing to sacrifice those things that were pleasant to them in the flesh. They were willing to sacrifice relative security. They were willing to go into a land and a place that 70 years later was largely unknown to them, to many of those that no doubt went. But they were willing to do that. So they knew the law, they followed the law, and they were willing to sacrifice. And all of these are critical items for us to take note of this morning, and all of these are items that are worthy of our imitation in our life today. God is still looking for a committed people. May God help us today to know the word of the Lord. God wants me and He wants you as individuals to dig deep to understand what doth say the word of the Lord. As was brought out this morning in Sunday school by Sister Andrea, God wants us to have something more than just pass on do's and don'ts. He wants us to have more than a form. He wants us to have something that goes further than the surface. The Lord God in heaven has a desire for every one of us to get an experience of Jesus Christ for ourselves. He wants us to dig deep into the Word of God, that we would understand what doth say the Word of the Lord for ourselves. There is a major religion of the world today that I have heard multiple times through the years that their leadership does not encourage their people to read the Word of the Lord for themselves. But they want to be the ones that distribute the Word of the Lord in the way that they want to communicate it. The Lord wants us as people to have an understanding of what the Word says. These people gave themselves to understanding what is the Word of the Lord said. The only way they could make decisions that were consistent with the will of God was to understand what the Word of God said. And it takes time, and it takes effort, it takes sacrifice. If you want to understand the Word of the Lord, you're going to have to give yourself to it. It's going to have to be more than coming to church and listening to the preacher, or coming to Sunday school, or whatever it was your parents told you growing up. And so that is, and I don't mean this to sound the wrong way, but that becomes the rails, or sometimes the rut, that we get ourselves in. But it's not personal. We haven't invested in it personally. God wants us to invest ourselves into His Word, that we might understand what it says for ourselves, that we might be able to gain conviction for why we do what we do in life. If we have no conviction that is based on the Word of the Lord, then we are going to live in error, and there's going to be holes in our experience that will eventually show up. May God help us to find conviction for ourselves that is consistent with the Word of the Lord. Some people have conviction, strong conviction,
But it's not according to the word of the Lord. God wants us to have conviction in our hearts that is acquired and supported by the word of the Lord and reinforced by the Spirit of the Lord that is living within us. The word of the Lord should be an absolute relative to the guidance in our lives. The word of the Lord was never meant to be an a la carte menu. Well, I think, you know what, this fits my life. I like this, okay. But this over here, well, it doesn't really fit. I don't really want that. That doesn't fit me. But this, the word of the Lord is intended to be applied in its fullness. And the scriptures teach us not to add or take away from the word of the Lord. In the book of Revelations, the 22nd chapter, which is the last chapter of Revelations, right down towards the end, and it's speaking of Revelation. But it said if anyone would add to this book anything, that to that person would be added the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from what is written in this book, his name will be taken out of the book of life. I don't want my name to be taken out of the book of life. That's serious business. So I don't want to take anything out of the word of the Lord. Proverbs 30:6 speaks of, don't add to the word of the Lord, lest you be reproved and found to be a liar. I don't want to be found to be a liar before God. I don't want to add something to His Word that is not in here. The Lord told Joshua when Moses died. He said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, you rise up and you go forward and you follow my Word and my commandments just like I said, all of it. And don't go to the right. And don't go to the left. Don't add to it. Don't add things to it that aren't in there. And don't take away things from it that are there. And if you will do according to all that I've commanded, you have much land in store for you. Much land to possess. May God help us follow that instruction. I want to say this too. The life of a Christian involves sacrifice. We know that. Sometimes I fear that we think that the more we sacrifice, the more spiritual we are. On its own merits. If I suffer more, I'm more spiritual. If I give up more, I am automatically more spiritual. If I live my life in a way that is less pleasing than to myself, then it automatically affords me more spirituality. But that is not what I find in the scripture. Martin Luther, way back, I believe was on his knees doing penance, climbing upstairs to do penance for his sins. When the revelation came to him, salvation is by grace. It is a gift. Not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. The Lord wants us to sacrifice to the extent that allows us to follow Him. Let me say it this way. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, he must deny himself. That's sacrifice. There is denial, self-denial in the life of a Christian. And Jesus himself said, if any person, any woman will come after me, let them deny themselves and take up the cross. There's more sacrifice. A cross represents sacrifice. And then what did it say? And follow me. The Lord calls us to follow him, which means that there are going to be things that we have to deny ourselves of in this life. There is going to be sacrifices that we must make in this life, not just so that we can say, I sacrificed this great thing over here, look at what all I did. But we sacrificed and we denied ourselves those things that allowed us to follow Jesus Christ. That is what God wants from us in life. He wants us to be so connected to His Word and to His Spirit and have a relationship with Him in a way that He speaks to our hearts and helps us understand which way to take. And often it's going to involve sacrifice and self-denial, which will be consistent with the Word of the Lord, so that it allows us to follow Him. If we get outside of that and we begin to offer up sacrifices or add things to what God has told us or take away things that the Scriptures plainly teach us that we should live, then what happens is we begin to follow our own path, but in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't want to follow my own way and put Jesus' name on it, and neither does He want me to do that. Do you see how important it is that we have a personal walk with the Lord? You see why it's so important that if I'm going to live for God and be accepted in His sight, that I follow the example here, that I give myself personally to understand what the Word of the Lord says, and that I'm willing to follow it completely, that I'm willing to sacrifice however I need to sacrifice, regardless of what it requires of me, so that I can be a dependable disciple of the Lord. I'm challenged by that today. It's not a part-time walk. It's not something that I can do in my spare time. It's not something that I can just kind of give half-hearted effort to, but it's something I have to be willing to give myself to. And when I do that, there is much land for us to possess. There is happiness, there is peace, there is joy, there is security. There is a presence of Jesus Christ that can walk with us through the difficult places of this life. Maybe we'll end there this morning. Our mission, our reasonable duty today, is that we consecrate and give ourselves to the Lord, to know His Word, to allow His Spirit to live in our hearts and lives, to teach us what the Word of the Lord says, and then to be faithful followers of it. May God bless each one of you this morning with these thoughts. I want to be true. Amen.